Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to On Screen Live. This is a live streamed offshoot of the We Hate Movies podcast. My name is Andrew Jupin. This is the show for Monday, the 17th of June. Happy post Tony's hangover. If you were like me, getting into the champagne cocktails last night, watching that broadcast. I gotta say, Jonathan Groff, you're a Tony winner now, man. Mindhunter season 3. Let's get that shit going. Speaking of, let's get that shit going. Let's get this show going. Got some buds here. 2 of 3 buds this week to help me talk through the ins and outs of this industry of ours here. First up, I'm glad he's okay after the weekend he had. Mr. Steve Zadek.
Yeah, I should have. The fire was 2 doors down, like 2 full buildings down.
Sure.
But even still, the smoke came in and the.
Yeah.
I just got this. I don't know if you guys have, you guys being the audience, have multiple cats when they have that weird cat not recognition syndrome thing, wherein if you take one cat away and come back, the other one's like, who the fuck is this guy? Which is the stupidest thing an animal can do.
Feline facial blindness, dude.
Yes, exactly. Which happens when they go to the vet. But now we've taken both of them away.
Right.
And now they're both back in the house and they're like, well, who the fuck is this guy? And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, we canceled plans because I'm like, I don't know if they're gonna kill each other, because there was low rumbling, like rawr kind of shit going on.
Good.
So that was
God.
That was my Saturday. Sunday was like, even they were kind of still doing it. I was like, I don't even care if you kill each other, I'm going out.
Daddy wants out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wild. Did your apartment smell like shit or anything? Or
the what do you call it? The basement did. The lobby did. The basement smelled like fucking smoke. And a karate studio, the locker burned down, and nobody knows why.
That's an insurance scam, dude.
Well, either
the
that or
locker
maybe,
burned down. I mean,
either that or like an e-bike, possibly.
Sure. Let's bring out our other legal analyst here, a dude who is no stranger to schemes, Mr. Eric Siska.
This sounds like you got a real dojo, a warring dojo situation, right?
Now that makes more sense. I think if Cobra Kai came in and burned this fucking dojo down,
right?
Because it's not the evil dojo.
Because we study the different karate, and we don't like these guys. We're going to burn down your dojo.
Right.
That's what's happening.
That's fucking terrifying, dude. I think we're onto something here. I think we got to keep our ears to the ground in Jersey City, dude. Find out what's going on with these dojo wars. Like, we're just asking questions.
Wow, full-on dojo wars. I'm very happy with
it. It would be incredible. We need to bring those back. In the 80s, you had them every week. It was all the rage.
And I'm just caught in the crossfire. I don't know. I'm going to be walking down the street. I'm going to get fucking shot up by some rival dojo. And I'm like, I pledge allegiance to no dojo. I want to be really
That's
clear
right.
about that.
You're a nojo. oh, shit. Eric Siska, what t-shirt you got there?
Oh, Orville Peck. Remember
Oh,
him?
Nice. Yeah,
remember him? sick.
Yeah, he's still around.
Yeah, he's around.
I think we're waiting on a new album at this point. We did the extensive touring for said album.
Mm.
Now we're kind of waiting for Orville to do it again.
Mm.
What's up, everybody in the chat? Tyler, Tiano, Rose, Joe Davis, Liam Carroll, Knowledge Junkie. Knowledge Junkie was first in the chat today. I did notice that.
Well, they want the knowledge we have.
That's right. Paul N, Nico Fish, Matt Harmy, Busiris 87, of course. Ives, Clumps, like that. Clumps with a C, though, so probably no relation.
To Hercules.
That's right, the very same. Thanks to y'all for hanging out, of course. And, you know, hey, by the way, like this video below on YouTube. Get that algorithm going. Comment, all that good stuff. So we got some birthdays. And I got to say, Eric, sorry to tell you, no dead people this week.
What? Wait, no one died on this date?
Well, the death dates, I don't know, but we're not honoring someone's birthday that has passed away. Everyone in the roll call of people right here, Eric, is still alive.
Okay.
And I double checked all of this.
Thank you for mentioning it, because otherwise I'd be asking.
Sure. No problem. First up, of course, happy 88th birthday to, I think now recently, just put out his final feature, retired filmmaker Ken Loach.
Still alive.
88. Mm. Still alive. Still rocking and rolling. Win the Shakes of Barley. Probably his biggest movie he put out. Biggest as in.
Yeah, made a big,
I was familiar with it. But let's see who else we got here. Oh, get all the Fanilos out. Wishing happy 81st birthday to Barry Manilow.
There he is.
Keeping the fucking hair dye business going.
Yeah.
Going strong
in your 80s. Come, what are you even doing?
You know what I mean? You look ridiculous. Al Pacino, right. At least De Niro has the good graces in real life to just go gray.
Yeah.
Pacino, it looks like there's a dead fucking possum on that guy's head.
I don't know what Pacino's trying to do, man.
Who are you fooling?
No, it's you're an old man, you know what I mean?
Does not make any sense. Next week on the show, we are talking about his Perfect Strangers co-star Bronson Pinchot. But for right now, happy 71st birthday to Mark Lynn Baker.
Nice photo
of him.
A nice late career turn. Him on Succession is fucking hilarious.
Yep. Oh, yes.
As Connor's like adversary, then advisor. And just
because wasn't he part of like the aloof, like liberal-ish family? It's like the other side of the aisle from the Roy's kind of family or whatever.
And then I guess he just smelled the power and like kind of fell in. It's so fucking funny, that character.
Mark Lynn Baker, true fucking legend, man. You know, theater actor, TV, of course. Great guy.
It's been popping up in my Amazon You Should Watch This feed. Uh-huh. Noises Off. Anybody ever see that movie?
I never did.
Noises Off. What's this about? A father turns off the alarm clock?
It's a crazy cast. It's
that is what it's about. How did you guess? It's a movie about a father turns off an alarm clock.
It's Peter Bogdanovich. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a wackadoo play that keeps going wrong while they're putting it together. It's Christopher Reeve. Michael Caine is the director. Mark Lynn Baker is in it. Carol Burnett and other people. Like, it's just
that's cool.
Yeah, I remember liking it as a kid because I was like, wow, Superman's in a movie that's not Superman.
Yeah, but wasn't that weird when you learned that as a kid that like Superman was in other movies, not playing Superman? Very disturbing shit.
Thought he was Superman. I guess they lied to us.
Will Plock in the chat points out another movie that's been on my to-do list for tomorrow. Mark Lynn Baker is the other guy in My Favorite Year with Peter O'Toole. Always wanted to check that out. Seems like a fun-ish romp there. But anyway, yes, he turns 71. Sandman himself. There he is. Thomas Hayden Church is 64. We are talking.
I'm almost a senior citizen, Stacy.
Stacy, discount coffee, Stacy. You got to be careful with that voice because it's almost a little bit into Jackie.
Yeah, it's right. Very close.
A little bit of Mel Silver. Just
also, it might stick if you do it too much.
Oh, that's true.
And then you just talk like you.
Oh, man. If you were cursed to talk like Thomas Hayden Church the rest of your life. Let's see. We were talking about him the other day for some reason. I don't remember why. Happy 58th birthday to Jason Patrick.
Of course.
Maybe I was talking about the Lost Boys. I don't know. And then finally,
Narc.
Narc with Ray Liotta. Yeah.
I forgot about Ray Liotta's
back in Narc form.
Oh my god.
I think that saw that once in theaters and
Joe Carnahan.
Well, it's like
that's why it was a one and done.
If I remember it correctly, it's like the whole movie you're like, well, clearly Ray Liotta's crooked, and then at the end Ray Liotta's like, I'm crooked, and I'm like, yeah, dude, I got it.
Yeah, it's like I've had this movie pegged from the jump. Oh, you were trying to tease this, and now it's a twist. Oh, got it.
Oops. Dude, Eric, did you have I'm curious because I feel like you and I had similar vibes as kids. Were you into Blood, Guts, Bullets, and Octane as much as I was for like 5 minutes?
No, I don't think so. Is that a film?
That's the first Joe Carnahan movie. It is dirt cheap. Dirt cheap.
IFC put it out or something,
and I saw it, and I was just like, it had a twist, and it was Usual Suspects-y, so I was super into it in my 17, and like, you know, it's a bunch of different hitmen coming together and yada yada, stupid dog shit. But no, I mean, like, dirt cheap.
I didn't know about this at all. I guess I'm more into Joe Carnahan now as an old man because I saw Cop Shop in the theater alone.
I did not see Cop Shop. Is it good?
No, it's Joe Carnahan. What you think it is.
Uh-huh. There you go. I always meant to watch that Cop Shop. I think I did not know until right now that it was a Joe Carnahan movie. So
no, yeah, for sure.
Maybe I was subconsciously just not watching.
Yes, it's worth maybe one spin. Boss Level, on the other hand, stay away from. I don't remember it, but I know I watched it.
Oh, ringing endorsement there. Oh, and also finally, Kendrick Lamar, 37 today.
There you go.
So happy birthday to that dude. Yeah, it was a weird, like, not for us angry uncles at the box office. This was all let the kids come to the movies, which is totally fine by me. Hence why later in the program, we're kind of just talking about a really good TV show. But big news at the box office, so let's dig into it all the same. This is Highest Gross. So this was... gotta say, blew the doors off this weekend at the box office.
Hot weekend.
Inside Out 2 and Bad Boys. We got some good stuff here, so let's get into it. First up, just limping its way into obscurity, The Watchers.
Yeah.
Five in week two.
it's if you're a Dakota Fanning head, maybe go check it out because it's nice to see her do stuff. That is it.
Yep. It is. Yep. It indeed is the one thing. There's not much else real positive we were able to say about the movie. But in week two, my goodness, a paltry 3.7 million. It is technically a decent hold in, only 48%. But when you're holding in from $7 million, you're over. Like, it's just, this is.
Dad's going to take a hit on that one, it seems.
Oh, yeah. This is another Zaslav classic with Warner Brothers. 18 million global ticket sales.
Wow.
14 million domestic.
I wish I could be as bad at my job as that guy is. You know what I mean? Like, I just love to wake up and just be as fucking shit terrible at my job and people fucking applaud me and make millions of dollars.
That's the important part. Batgirl and Wile E. Coyote movie, they would have made more money than that.
Of course they would have. I don't know what's going on. I think somebody fucking like poo-pooed that dude in a bathroom stall and he overheard it, like, washing his hands at the sink and was like, oh, who is that? Oh, is that the Batgirl director? Oh, that's Adil and Bilal talking shit in the toilet about me? Not to mention
that he ruined HBO Max and lost the NBA. Like, imagine having the NBA and losing the NBA.
Where did I put it?
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Did they announce where it's going, Steve? Has that happened yet?
It's more than likely NBC and maybe some Amazon too. Like, it's kind of getting split up between, I mean, ESPN will have X, and then whatever Turner TNT used to have, I think will go back to NBC, and then maybe some other Amazon stuff. But
isn't it weird that Amazon is streaming sports now? Like, there's a football game only on Amazon or whatever. It's just it's bizarre to me.
I'm finally, it's, I think in like maybe the third year or so of Amazon doing that. And finally this season, my parents know how to turn on Prime so they can watch the Yankee game without calling and trying to help me help them figure it out. Like, but it's so annoying because it's like these secret sports games. Like, you'll turn on the local broadcast channel and it's like, oh, not there. Maybe it's on, you know, MLB Network or ESPN. Nope. And then it's like your fucking fourth thing down. Oh, is it on Amazon? And sometimes the super deadly, oh, it's not even on Amazon. It's quietly pushed to Apple TV.
Oh, God.
And you're just watching games there sometimes. Terrible. Rocking and rolling in fourth, Garfield the movie.
Sure.
As our comrade Chris Cabin confirmed last week, he doesn't sit in a chair the entire time.
Son of a bitch.
But this is another $5 million, down 47%. Look, it had some legit competition. It stayed in the top five, unlike If. So got that going for it. This is a sweet little payday for Sony. It cost nothing to make. And so they're good with that. Something a little more expensive to make, but just doing quite all right. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes back up to three.
Wow. I can't believe
here in week six.
That's incredible.
Yeah, no, this is wild stuff here. Only a 4% drop from the previous week. That's a nice little hole in.
Do we think that it's like the dads? It's dad's weekend, right?
Oh, right.
So like maybe one guy like, well, I missed the ape movie and I'm not feeling these others.
I buy that. That
makes sense. It's a dad for noon motion picture. That's for sure.
And dads have an affinity for ape movies, obviously.
Yeah.
Hail to the Chimp. That's what you get for hailing to the Chimp.
Check your father's hard drive. He's got
I don't know about that.
Ape movies.
We'll call them movies.
Yeah. Movies. All from somethingrotten.com or whatever. It at number two, a fantastic second week for Bad Boys Ride or Die, grossing another $33 million, a nice 42% drop. This movie cost $100 million to make, so it is just all right.
All right.
Nice little deuce for Sony between this and Garfield.
How long is that movie? Is it a long guy? Just out of curiosity.
It's actually, dude, I think it's like just a scotch under 2 hours.
That's where you want to be with a Bad Boys movie. Okay.
Yep.
If you told me 2.5 or something, because I remember, I feel like the one we watched was so up its own ass that the whatever the last one was.
Yes. The previous episode on Bad Boys : The Witch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's right. Bad Boys, they go back in time to Salem, Mass, and they're, you know, they're just going around trying to hunt these witches.
That's right. Mike Lowry goes back to present day Miami with Black Peter in tow, sets up a whole new witchiverse. Absolutely.
Oh, hell no. Goody Proctor. Punch her in the face.
Right. Crashing a Hummer through a colonial village. That's where Roanoke. We got rid of Roanoke.
That's how it happened, dude. That is what happened to the Lost Colony. The Bad Boys went back in time with the time traveling Hummer and ran it all down. Listen, I'm happy for this movie. I think it's fun. It definitely scraped away a lot of the unnecessary shit of that third movie. And I think one of the reasons it's shorter is it doesn't have an extended third act. Now we're going to Cuba. Now we're fucking going wherever in South America. It just stays in Florida. And that's where I want my Bad Boys to stay, just in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. Really, truly blowing the doors off of the box office. Inside Out 2, going past any professional tracking and forecasting of any kind, with a whopping $155 million in its first weekend.
There you go.
Really wild stuff.
You know, and maybe I'll check this out on Disney Plus. I just, because I like the first one. I do. I just, you know, like, I have not really gotten excited for a Pixar movie in a really long time. Are the reviews good on this? I miss those. Are
they- the only one I saw was I think it was the IndieWire review. Maybe Alyssa Wilkinson wrote it. She did not care for it, but I mean, reviews don't really matter this, with this.
This just in from the tomato meter.
What do we got, dude?
91% on the tomato meter. That
tomatoes
means
love it.
Regular tomato, not a discarded garbage tomato.
Got it. Not a splat. It doesn't go splat.
Right. I mean, if we're doing this tomato based system and everyone's just signed on for this, I should be able to take spoiled fruit to the theater and throw it around if I don't like the movie.
That's right. We're in a tomato verse now. We've belong in the tomato verse.
Does it go in like stages of a rotting tomato? Is that actually a thing? Like,
no,
is
it's either you're either fresh, certified fresh,
or you're certified
rotten. Yeah,
that's it. Just one or the other.
Yeah, it's binary. I think it's under 70% or something. You get into that rotten zone.
Oh wow, really?
No, or is it 60? I think it might be 60. Under 60.
Oh my god! Now I'm just scrolling through Rotten Tomatoes here. Horizon and American Saga. There's already 28 reviews, and it is a splat so far.
Oh, it's already splat.
Oh yeah, it was not well liked out of Cannes. I think that's where those reviews are coming from.
I'll be there. I'll be there for you, Kevin.
I'll be seeing it. So interestingly, $295 million global for Inside Out 2.
Wowzers.
It's the second highest animated opening of all time behind, and I was surprised by this, but I think it speaks to the anticipation based off the love of the first one kind of a deal.
Sure.
It was Incredibles 2 is the highest grossing animated opening, which is weird. But this sold 12 million tickets. It was a $200 million budget, so just like Elemental, which I believe was the last theatrically released Pixar thingy. 43% of this was premium large format, so that's like your Dolby screens, your Regal RPX, and of course your IMAX is floated into that, which is surprising, if only because those tickets are more expensive. And so to have this kids movie, like you're bringing the fucking family and it's all the concessions and whatever, people were actually opting for the better, bigger experience on top of dragging your kids to it. So that's kind of cool. And this has, it's nice. This movie's got a little bit of runway here because we got 2 full weeks until Despicable Me 4 opens.
There you go. And I mean, those minions are just going to fucking eat that lunch. I mean, it's probably not gonna, I don't know if it's going to beat the total, but it'll obviously be number one because people love those minions.
They love those minions and all the evil cheeks. The evil they've wrought on mankind throughout the eons.
Eric, I'm just reminded of a funny detail that every single time I laughed at the opening of Everybody's in L.A. when they would just cut to the shot of like the Minion billboard, like peeping and just, oh my God, it's very fucking funny.
That's what California looks like. People think, oh, with Hollywood signs and glitz and glamour. If you've been to L.A., it's just Minion posters.
Yeah, it's both minion based for sure. Yeah,
I mean, minion based economy.
Congratulations to the 17% of voters in our Patreon poll for the box office this weekend who selected the highest level here, Joy, 115 million plus, which would have been wildly above tracking. This is $40 million over what is considered like the pie in the sky, good luck number of 115. 30 million over that, 40 million over that.
It just
wild,
And yet again, I feel like that Deadpool movie is going to be the big movie of the summer. Disney's going to have a huge, thank God, because I was worried about him. I was really worried.
Oh, is anyone thinking of poor Mickey Mouse being thrown out in the street?
At the end of the day, you know, I might not like a lot of Pixar movies. I might not like a lot of Marvel movies, but I'm glad that the box office is heating up because I like movie theaters.
Yep. That's right. That's right. This was Inside Out 2 was actually also the biggest opening since Barbie, which it did not surpass. I think Barbie was like 163 million or something like that, but like right there, like right on its ass. So pretty cool. And then just real quick, elsewhere around the box office, wanted to point this one out, a new one from A24 that nobody knows about. Tuesday.
Did not know about that. Is she on the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? Like in the other side?
I wish.
I think it's the bird. Ape, ride, the horse. Okay, yeah. Okay.
I think Yeah.
I've seen the trailer. It seems very weepy.
It is it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus dealing with, I think, the impending death of a child, or maybe the death of her child, and that bird's talking to her or something. Okay. Either way, this was its second week of release. It bumped up from 2 screens to 654 screens.
Including Story Screen Cinema in Hudson, New York.
Nice. There you go. Mm-hmm. Nice little plug there. Did a nice little 292K, which brings it to 324.6K total. Nice little thing for a movie. You know, you start watching it, right? Like, you start watching the selectivity, right, of what and how much we're plugging titles when we are a company that owns a lot of movies that we're putting out month to month, right? Like, think about how we were inundated with so much Civil War stuff. You haven't fucking heard of Tuesday. The same company.
But are they also doing Maxine? Because they've been pushing that hard.
Maxine's getting a lot of push. I saw the TV Glow. I would put in between those two. Like, there's definitely, I saw trailers for that when it was coming out. Had a nice, they had a nice ad package for it. I was aware of it coming out. Yeah. I had no idea Tuesday's coming out.
No. It's tomorrow. So, you know, it is, Eric. It is a thing. You pick and choose which of your babies you want to really push. And obviously some of that is like cost, you know, relative, right? So like Civil War, obviously way more expensive than Tuesday. Sure. So there's things there. One has a director with a little bit more of a known pedigree than this movie, etc.
Actually, Tuesday's also very expensive. They also kill the president in that movie. she's grappling with the loss of a child, and then they drag the president out.
Yep. No, that happens actually. I saw the TV Glow as well. It's actually that's what they're doing in every movie now.
This
year, they're going to kill the president.
It's the assassination verse that they're building.
That's like, I mean, I heard it straight from like some people I know that work at A24. Like, you get to that end of Maxine, and she's like, I'm going to be a horror porn star, y'all. And then all of a sudden, she assassinates Reagan. It's like there.
Oh,
it's crazy.
What just an ending that would be. A24
just folding in presidential assassinations to all their movies. I'm pumped for Maxine, by the way.
Oh, of course,
I think the latest trailer for that looked really fucking cool.
I'm pumped for whatever Giancarlo Esposito is doing in that movie. It seems he's having fun tap dancing and stuff these days. He's having he is chewing some scenery in Abigail, and I'm happy for him to do so.
Yes, he was very great in Abigail. He's got there's some show, I think it was on AMC.
Yes.
Kind of came and went there.
Prophet sort of, or Bishop or something.
Yes.
Pharaoh or like, it's just one word title. Like, that's his name. It doesn't sound like a name.
I
can pull it up because he's actually, he vacated his seat in The Boys, actually, speaking of what we're about to talk about in a minute.
Right.
Oh, that's right. That's totally right. Well, Steve, while you look that up, we'll just do a little plug here, because July 18th, folks, that's right, our summer digital worldwide experience is going down, where we're talking about speed live on the internet. This is going to be a fun one.
I'm so pumped to revisit this movie. Our conversation is, we're going to be talking about this movie very fast. We're going to have to talk at 55 miles an hour. So just so you know, it's going to be a very fast show.
It'll be like all the Gen Z people that listen to this, our podcast on like 2x the speed.
Yes.
Which is a trend I will never in my fucking life understand.
No, you got to hear for you. This. Listen, if you're listening to this fast right now, slow it down. Doesn't this sound better?
That was kind of the return to Hopper. Like, he had been kind of away and like kind of came back in a big bad way in that film.
Big, you know what way. I mean? Yeah.
With that this weird, was... like, I don't have a thumb. I don't have a thumb.
Right out.
That was always great. Because this is Speed comes like right after he fucking debased himself in Mario Brothers, right? Mario Brothers like 93.
Yes. Right. He needed something.
He needed something in a big bad way. Because way back then, I don't know if you folks remember, but unlike today, where that movie's been like reappraised as some amazing masterpiece, congratulations. But back when it came out, it was like universally reviled. And like, Dennis Hopper's performance was considered pretty embarrassing. So Speed comes along. He's a fucking crazy villain, ex-cop maniac guy. It's just, it's one of the all-time best action movies. One of my favorite movies of the 90s, to be completely honest.
We're going to have a ton of fun. It's a super summery movie. Get your AC, go get the AC kicking, you know what I mean?
Because, you know, they didn't have AC on that bus after a while there.
By the way, I just pulled up Dennis Hopper's IMDb. He had a crazy 1993, actually. Boiling Point, I have not seen, but Red Rock West. Red Rock West, very, very good movie. Then Super Mario Brothers, then True Romance, all in one year.
Oh, True Romance, where he gets the weird little racist monologue against Christopher Walken that gets shot in the head. That's
yes, but that was, people considered that to be good.
It was, yeah, no, it was a big move for him to come out. And that movie rules, True Romance, obviously.
Yeah. So, but yes, we'll be talking all about Speed on July 18th, live 9 p.m. Eastern. You can go to moment.co/WeHateMovies to get them tickets. And while you're there getting your ticket, be sure that you bundle in the ticket for the Q&A after party. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's basically, we do close to another hour answering questions. Speaking of cocktails, Steve, certainly imbibing.
We get trashed. So tune in.
So Giancarlo Esposito update.
Oh, nice.
AMC show that no one's watching is called Parrish.
Parrish.
Yes. There it is. He plays... He plays
a county in Louisiana.
Yes, he plays Gressian Gray Parrish. Of course, his name is Parrish.
Okay.
The tagline is follow, or the log line follows a taxi driver whose life is turned upside down when he agrees to pick up a Zimbabwean gangster mostly known for exploiting undocumented immigrants at the South U.S. ports.
Whoa. So it's like Collateral, kind of, and then it goes from there.
Yeah,
but we're feeding into the scary border stuff. And right, you know, that is a four quadrant thing. Everyone likes the scary border stuff.
Sicario Day of the Soldado or whatever that was.
Right, yeah. That was that was a terrible movie.
I did not see it. I do love the first movie, even though it does have some iffy politics.
Sure. Yeah.
No, the first one's good.
Yeah. Was that second one theatrically released?
Oh, yeah, it was. It was
must have been. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's the one that opens with they found prayer rugs in the desert, and then guys are suicide bombing your local Target or whatever.
Right.
Oh, yikes.
Jesus Christ.
That's what they do. That's the crazy border stuff.
Hey, so Parrish, that is a show that no one's watching that we could plug here. Giancarlo, you know, let's check. I mean, because the other thing is, I want to say that this was an AMC Plus only show. And like,
possibly.
Listen, my subscription shit only goes so far. And it is yet to venture into AMC Plus territory because I'm not that desperate for stuff to watch. There's plenty on the platforms I have. Hey, speaking of which, I'll tell you guys about it and just use this platform to quickly plug, speaking of shows that are good that no one's watching, Girls 5 Eva, which was a Peacock show, which is why no one knows about it, but it went to, it's on Netflix now, there's three seasons of it. It is the funniest show, like new show that I've picked up in a really long time. You got Sarah Bareilles, known more for like stage stuff and her own like music career, but you got Paul Appel floating around. Busy Phillips floating around, Renee Elise Goldsberry is the fourth. So it's about a early aughts girl band, you know, around the TRL times that decides in present day to get back together and see what they can do about a career. It is so fucking funny, you guys. Like I it's produced by like the 30 Rock team, so it's got a little bit of that vibe to it. But like, my God. Paul Appel is just one of the most like unsung, amazing comedy voices. And like her alone, it could just be a her alone show and you'd be laughing all the way to the bank. But like the four of them are fucking funny. The supporting cast is really funny. 30-minute, episodes. I highly recommend if you're into like that style of, comedy show, definitely check it out. 100%.
That is what people should be doing. If your show is not doing so well on your own streaming service, license it to one that people have.
It's kind of wild that that's what's going on. Like,
yeah, dude, all those HBO shows.
Yeah, they get dumped on different streaming platforms again because Zaslav's like, what's this Sopranos? Huh? What do I do with it?
Why would I want to keep exclusivity on that when I could sell it to someplace else and they can make money off it? Like, that. Fucking guy. I wish I could be that bad at my job. I really, really do. But anyway, gang, yes, moment.co/wehatemovies. Get them ticks. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, oh, the one thing we didn't mention, really wrap up this promo segment, is that if you can't make it live, I know people live in different parts of the world, obviously. You got to work, you got kids, whatever. Hey, we totally get it. Instead of the usual 1 week, 7 day window, you have 14 days, a full 2 weeks after broadcast to still buy a ticket, get the show. It'll be up there. moment.co/wehatemovies.
A whole fortnight, not the video game.
Well, because right. it's the summer. Things go a little slower in the summer. That's yeah, right. Time.
My brain does.
Sit on your porch, listen to the cicadas and us.
Right. That's right.
Whittle your wood, settle into a nice grampy lifestyle, put on the dial and listen to the live show.
Oh, the dial, dude. I love putting on the dial. just put on the dial. See what happens.
You got to put on the dial.
Just saw this come through over on Twitch. We got a hello from Japan. So hello back, Jesse Jace TV.
Thank you for tuning in.
Is that tomorrow over there? Where are what time?
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's today here. You know. So it's a fortnight in the future.
Yes,
there.
Exactly. Well, he's already seen the show, so that's great. They've already enjoyed it.
Don't spoil it, Jesse Jace. Don't spoil it for the people who haven't seen the end of this broadcast yet.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of spoiling things, we're going to attempt to not spoil too much here in the thing we're all gathered here to talk about today. But that is the start of The Boys season 4, which kicked off last week on Amazon Prime. Speaking of platforms that actually promote their stuff when they want to, this was inescapable everywhere. It was The Boys fever.
Yeah.
Which, hey, rightfully so. It's probably their biggest TV show.
And I believe it's the last season, right? This is it for The Boys?
No, they just announced five will be the last.
Five will be the last. Mm. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
My mistake. Yeah. The backwards. Which is good. This show, it's funny, it's one of those shows that I watched and enjoy and kind of forget everything about, and then it comes back. I'm like, oh, these guys, I like these guys.
Yep.
Yeah. This season specifically is hitting me the right way. It's the only show, I think, that speaks to my political bent comedically that I actually find funny as opposed to pandering. You know what I mean? They do like a lot of jokes about, alternate facts and fucking crazy QAnon shit this season where I'm like, it's really fucking funny. Like the new character Firecracker is really fucking funny. Right, all the shit that she's spewing is insane. The eye for an eye might be the Jew part of the Bible, but it's still part of the Bible is a great, great line.
It's the only show that seems to be actually like attempting to really satirize the modern era. Everything else feels like a retread of the past.
No, I totally agree. It just feels very present and very fresh in that way.
I'm trying to look up to see if Firecracker is an actress named Valerie Curry, who I don't know. Let's see if I guess we all saw her as Charlotte in Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part One or Two.
I'll take your word for it.
I remember K-Stew and Robert Pattinson, and that is it. Maybe a little bit of Michael Sheen.
I remember drinking a lot of beer watching the movies on our Patreon commentary series.
There was a lot of beer drinking during that series. If you saw the, I thought, kind of not really good and sort of ill-advised Adam Wingard Blair Witch legacy sequel that happened.
Terrible.
I forgot that happened.
Yeah. She's also in that, apparently. But she's very, very funny in this Firecracker role. Totally like gets the tone sort of perfectly here. Go ahead, Steve.
Oh no, but the Firecracker, I like the turn where she's got beef with Starlight for a legitimate reason, and it just sort of like it that's what that show does pretty well, is again, here's this crazy political nonsense, but here's another layer to it that makes it feel a little more lived in.
I completely agree. I was noticing something in the chat. Someone says Fallout is now their biggest show. But I'm just kind of curious, all in the game, like what are you referring to, like what are you basing that on? Do you mean like views? Do you mean, you know, popularity, zeitgeist? I'm just kind of curious.
Very big. I did watch it, Fallout, and it's pretty good. I mean, good Walton Goggins, decent world building.
Yeah.
There's a few things I would prefer. I don't know the games, so I'm talking out my ass, but hopefully season two of Fallout is even better than season one. I think it's fine. It's like a good background folding laundry show.
Okay. Yeah. No, I watched the pilot. I thought it was a lot of fun. And then it was one of those like, okay, like this is how I sort of work with a lot of TV because I'm always so behind on a lot of it. It's like, all right, cool. I watched that first one. It's good. Make a mental note to whenever loop back around whenever I get to it. You know, like I think if I was more familiar with the game, I probably would have like checked that out a little more. But I really like the production design of it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get back to The Boys. Like, again, we're not skimping on stuff here. The show looks really good in a lot of different ways. Like, their sets are all really great. I'm liking this new, I can't remember if this was third season or not, but this new, basically like the detective agency office they have now. I'm kind of totally cool with it. Give them a place that's not like a basement or whatever.
I love seeing shots of the Flatiron building, so I'm way into it.
Yeah, yes. I think that was a little bit of last season. They set up shop there for whatever
they moved
reason.
In there. Yeah. See, because again, it is just, it's weird. I mean, and I got this with a few shows over the years where it's like, I totally like it, but it's never like I months ago saw some poster and was like, oh, this is the date in June when The Boys is coming back. Cool. Really didn't think about it until like literally last week, Steve, you were like, why don't we talk about The Boys on OSL? And I was like, oh, fuck, it came out. Because somehow, like, it's already mid-June and it's released. Go ahead.
Oh, no, please.
Oh, no, I was just sort of finishing that thought of, like, it's a weird thing where when I finally, like, motivate myself to get back into watching it, I'm totally in it. It's not like a cell phone show where it's, like, on and I'm scrolling. Like, I'm fucking into it. But for whatever reason, it has never transferred into, like, appointment viewing form.
Yeah, and it's just it's legitimately funny. You know what I mean? Like, I think all of the child trafficking stuff, that's another firecracker bit, but again, like, it's kind of interesting to do that, to balance that with actual child trafficking, which happened to what's her name, Karen Fukuyama. Kimiko. Yeah, it's like joke, kind of broad joke, here's a little bit more layered to it. And I think that that's sort of like what that show does really well, like, versus what the comics, from what I've seen, like, that is based on, it's incredibly dated. It's great to just be like, no, let's make this incredibly now and just chuck everything and kind of just use the templates and move forward. And I think it's one of the, I'm glad that Carl Urban has a thing that's like kind of a flag in the ground that's his forever.
Because he's fantastic.
He's fucking great. He really is. And like, I feel like that dude, he got put a little bit of like movie jail because of fucking Dread, but like, he's a really good actor. And I think he's really been bringing it. I'll tell you what, you know, some of the personal stuff I think in these first three episodes has definitely landed well for me. Like, obviously Kumiko's attachment to like getting an actual trafficking ring taken down, which I love that contrast, right? Like, Steve, you were sort of alluding to it, but like, here's the fake shit that like Firecracker spews. And then here's Kimiko, like, I'm actually going to do something about an actual real version of this. Yeah. And she's not going around with like, there's a fucking zip tie on his car. You know, it's like, it's the real shit, which is interesting.
The manufacturing of reality and stuff, of like all this stuff being staged and, you know,
The saves.
Right. Yeah. It's really, really fun. And I also love that, you know, if you watched last season, you know what happened to Black Noir, and then bringing him back in this fashion, I thought was very funny that we really pick up on episode two. They really lean into that. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And I love who, I got to find out who the voice actor is, because it's very funny. Like, just
it is a funny performance. Yeah.
I like him a lot.
The dude playing Black Noir 2 is Nathan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And apparently he also voiced, and maybe even played, Black Noir. It's the same dude.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's funny.
He's he's credited
even
on
even funnier than.
Yeah, yes. Like 32 episodes of The Boys. Mm-hmm. He's credited on as Black Noir and Black Noir 2. So it's him. I guess he kind of looks like maybe more just a stunt stuff with this guy, but very funny in that now vocal performance.
And it's a little taken me aback, but it's, you know, the math works out. Rosemary DeWitt as the mom is just sort of like
that. So that was the thing I was going to get to. One, yeah, Rosemary DeWitt playing a mother of 30-ish year old Jack Quaid, that's gutting. But that is, I will say, one of the personal threads that I kind of don't care about.
No, I agree.
I don't give a shit about your mom leaving you. And I kind of never gave a shit about Simon Pegg as the dad either. Yep. And now it's like, you got Simon Pegg on your show and he's just laying in a coma in a bed. Like, hey.
Huey has become, he was like, obviously, are into the series and all the stuff. He's almost become like an extraneous appendage at this point. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't. Yes. And they're giving him something to do. They're giving him emotional stuff to have this season. And I kind of agreed. Like, it's sort of like, I'm always like, well, what about what's the fun? Let me just look behind that. And like, there's something better going on, which is usually, I love, we should talk about, or I want to talk about, the character Splinter is a great, the guy that is the multiple man.
Splinter.
Dude, that guy was packing heat though. Holy shit, that hammer was flopping.
Really a huge penis. And I think like this dude doing nice ass the thing.
Too. Is that a nice ass too?
A real eatable ass, apparently. I mean, that's like, I'm telling you now, like he's the, oh my God, dude, that fucking just hand motion.
Get in there.
Like, we've joked about it for years. If we had clones of ourselves, what would we do with it? And this dude is fucking walking the walk. He is eating the ass, dude.
They nailed it, man.
It's so fun. And of course, I mean, like, no super spoilers, but just the shot of like the main one pleasuring himself to the fucking firecracker photo. Like, because of course, right? Because that's the other thing with all of this is like, we support those like figures because we just want to jerk off to them.
Well, he
on that side of
he
things.
Human centipedes himself. I mean, not to spoil, but that's what he's doing. I mean without the surgery, which is great, which is the better way to do that. Everyone can do human centipede at home. You just need a couple of friends. You just don't just keep the surgery out of it.
Someone in the chat says, why wait for clones? It's because I'm not that flexible. I haven't done yoga in a while.
Yes, exactly right.
Also the
Hang on a second. Human selfipede. There it is.
No.
All right, Steve, sorry.
Another thing that really got me is the marvelous Miss Rachel, the bat mitzvah that they burst into in that episode is just really fucking
marvelous
funny.
Mrs. Maisel themed mitzvahs. Yes. Very fucking funny idea. I've loved all of the, because you get really like with the boys, you get one an episode, right? Yep. A big, ridiculous like fight or action scene. That one is phenomenal.
Yes.
Them fighting at the bat mitzvah. God damn, that's really great. A bunch of people have mentioned it now, and I'll say, because I have heard about this, right? So we'll pull up just one here. All in the Game mentions the MAGA crowd has review bombed season 4 so hard, to which I say, where the fuck were you people for the last 3 seasons? Because like, this show has always worn its political shit on its sleeve. It's like, it's something that it took me a while to get used to because I thought it was like so on the nose for so long. But like, if you're just noticing it now, you fucking boobs, like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, I think in previous seasons, you could latch on a little bit more because they would do like liberal cuck kind of stuff. It would be a little, not say balance. And obviously that was always like what Homelander's thing is. And if you're like, it's your classic Don Draper thing. Like, if you're looking at Homelander, like that's the guy I identify with, you might have a problem. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah. If you think Walter White's like the hero of Breaking Bad,
people, they're finally realizing what they're watching 4 years in, and you know, better late than never, huh?
Yes. I do love that. No. There's that one guy who's just like, man, thank you, Firecracker, for exposing me to the secrets. Like, I haven't talked to my family in years, and it's so great. It's like, yep, there you go.
Yep.
Enjoy it.
Yeah. I had another sort of thought about that. But I don't know. It's kind of always been glaringly apparent to me. Yeah. But again, these people are on fucking universal delays with everything else. So I guess why not?
I'm going to guess none of us. I haven't watched Generation V. I don't
know.
No.
That's the spinoff.
Yeah.
It's like the younger.
It's like little kids.
It's like babies. Like
yeah, it's like
little babies.
Little babies. And it's like, I, that's great. But I get enough from the boys. I'm good to go. Like I don't need a right. I don't need a menthol patch for the boys.
Like it's now, a fun show, but it just yeah. it feels it would be like in a show like I don't know, like Game of Thrones, it almost feels like you're gonna get these spinoffs, but it's surprising to get one for this. And is it just doing the same kind of humor? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, Knowledge Junkie, once again, coming in very active in the chat today, Knowledge Junkie, I love it, saying that Gen V has given a little more insight into Victoria Newman's character, which, okay, that's cool. I like that actress. I kind of, she was a character where I was like, what was your deal again? yeah. Claudia Dumit is the actress's yeah. name. Who I think was on that Timeless show that I feel like Chelsea and I were the only one who watched. Yep, Timeless, 27 episodes.
You are the only good, person. Mm.
You're, good Jesus. Time travel show out there, fellas. Not, I'm not going to recommend it the way I'm recommending Girls 5 Eva, but there's worse things I've done with my time.
She is, by the way, another secret Australian.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
That's bum, a good bum, secret bum, Australian. Bum, I mean, that whole show is right? rotten with it. I mean, Anthony Starr is also New Zealander as well. Yes. And obviously, Carl Urban.
And I love them all. So I'm Kiwis. Eating crow today.
I see Wiener coming in hard in the chat saying IMDb says that there's going to be a crossover with Gen V coming this season. And to that I say, I hope I can understand it without watching Gen V. yep. I also just also wanted to touch on really quickly. I do like we're giving finally a little something more to do with Jesse T. Usher's A-Train character. That's a familial side that I think is neat, but I think just what they're sort of doing to the character overall, I like. And I like Laz Alonso as Mother's Milk being yeah. like the new boss Heavy, and like, yeah. you know, having it be like, God, this fucking job. And it's so much like a job, yeah. you know, like now you're the boss and it sucks shit.
I guess the A-Train thing, the movie, which I won't spoil, but it's really funny that the way that episode starts and it's like a crack deal in a bad part of town. I'm like, and in my brain, I'm like, well, this is pretty obvious. And then it turns out to be a shitty parody making fun of exactly that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, and that's what that yeah. show does really well. Like, it really does get what it's satirizing really, really well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm liking it a lot. So based off of these first three episodes, off to a good start for this. What turns out will be penultimate season, which honestly is probably fine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't need to really drag that out. Knowledge Junkie again saying apparently Victoria Newman and Huey dating in real life.
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yeah, they are an item is what they say.
I like that.
Mazel tov.
Cute little couple there. Yeah, so we'll see. You know, I don't know that we'll do another follow up to the boys, but, you know, just off to a good start. We'll be keeping with it. Now, here's the real question about keeping up with TV shows. Have either of you guys watched last week's Acolyte yet or no?
In one ear, not the other. No, I need to get back into it.
I'm going.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we I was curious about that because I had the thought myself while watching The Boys, like, guess what you didn't catch up on? But them's the breaks. There's a lot of fucking TV.
Too much TV.
Some would say... Maybe the producers of Parrish would say too much TV. So before we wrap up, just a quick thing. Steve, I think this will interest you a little bit, too.
Oh, please.
But it's a quick thing for Home Media Mania here. Want to do a quick plug. The new Fear and Loathing 4K, that Criterion Collection put out. Now, it did come out June 4th, so this is a little bit of a delayed sort of review here. But we never received these things before the release date, so whatever, dropped on June 4th. This is one that's been in the collection for a while, of course. It's spine number 175, but we just sort of put out this new 4K release on Blu-ray. And, you know, it looks fucking great. If you get this 4K disc, looks really good. It's, of course, approved by Terry Gilliam. Big, nice, juicy Dolby Vision and HDR options there. Color looked fucking great. Handles darkness very well. There's depth to it, so it's not just like a flat looking digital release. So it's kind of like the best you're going to get this thing looking these days. 2.0 DTS master track, which is nice. It's also got a 5.1. I flicked over between both, and I've seen a lot of people saying this too. The 2.0 DTS track is preferable because of all of fucking Dirtbag Depp's mumbling in the narration.
Yeah.
On the 5.1 track, it's kind of harder to understand all of it. So if you do it, do the 2.1, and that piece of shit will come through much clearer.
That is a movie I've always enjoyed, despite the fans trying to make me not like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't. I mean, yeah. It's what I had the big dumb poster in college. I was
A
huge head of that. I think that's my first Criterion that I bought. Was
is that right?
The
wow,
DVD of Fear and Loathing. Either that or Rushmore, one of the two. But it just and yeah, they're great. Yeah. I mean, it's a great movie. It's been a little bit. I do want to go back. It's great Benicio in that movie. A great Gary Busey in that movie, you'll forget.
Oh, fuck. Yes, dude. Yes, Busey. This is great. It's got three commentaries on it that I think are just all old. One of them, though, is a Hunter Thompson commentary.
That's so old.
Yeah, it's
unless
old,
they had
but
a
also
Ouija board.
Yeah, no, it's clearly old. He's been dead for several years. But yeah, it's just the wildest shit on there. It's got really great, you know, the cover is just one part of it, but like all that Ralph Steadman artwork mm-hmm. is in here. You can check out. There's a nice little, you know, gorgeous booklet. Chris Cabin is in here, but I could hopefully let him know one of his fave film writers, Jay Hoberman's got an essay in it. You got some Hunter Thompson writing in there, which is nice. There's a bonus feature where it talks about Oscar Zeta Acosta, the dude that like he based Dr. Gonzo on. So, you know, it's definitely if you dig on this movie, and I understand why you wouldn't want to check it out, of course. But, you know, if you're a Gilliam head, if it's a movie you dig on, if you're a Hunter Thompson guy, hey, this is the most gorgeous this disc will ever.
And if you're a Hunter Thompson guy, I see someone in the chat. Johnny mentions Where the Buffalo Roam, pretty decent movie with Bill Murray playing the role and Peter Boyle as the other fella there.
You know, that's funny. I've never actually seen that movie, which is so really weird. Skipped it.
It's worth checking out. It's not as good, but it's worth seeing Bill Murray try it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think for a while, wasn't it sort of hard to find? Like it was sort of barely on DVD for fashion. Because I remember when I learned about it, it was like nowhere. I couldn't track it down at the time, but I always have wanted to check it out.
I forget where I saw it. It might have been just a VHS tape.
It probably was. Yeah. It was definitely a blockbuster. It was always like, would it finally do Where the Buffalo Roam or whatever?
Oh, wow. Even carried a blockbuster. So I was just completely missing it, I guess. But yeah, if you're a Fear and Loathing head, mandatory pick that up, get it in your collection. But anyway, that's going to do it for this week, y'all. We got some stuff to plug. Of course, if you missed last week, we did have three shows drop. Of course, one, We Hate Movies. We were covering Dick Tracy, which was a lot of fun reviewing that clearly insane movie based off of that promo card. We also got back into Once in a Lifetime territory. We were talking, you guessed it, Unwed Father.
Oh yeah,
with the notorious BAG himself, Brian Austin Green, and Nicole Tom. I like the photo on the bottom right there because it looks like it could also be like a milk ad or something.
Yes,
you know, I don't know where I found that, but that was a nice Once in a Lifetime return. Then also we ended the week with a Animation Damnation all about the Men in Black cartoon, which like a lot of people kept saying like it's getting better, it gets better, and it's like okay, fine, we were just talking about the one, not a strong start to the series,
but we mostly talked about DoorDash taking pictures to your feet. So I'm just saying, if you're not really well versed in the Men in Black cartoon, you're like, why would I want to listen to that? It's a lot more than just recap in the cartoon. We get into the nooks and crannies of our horrifying real life.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an advertisement for all of our sideshows and shows in general. Is we just sit down and we're like, hey man, what happened to you this week? Kind of.
Yep, exactly. Here's some
about whatever
horrifying
the movie is.
Yeah, horrifying, embarrassing shit. And then we'll get to the TV episode in a second. This week shows continue dropping. You know, we're not missing a beat. Tomorrow, you guessed it, We Hate Movies welcomes back our dear friend Angelica Jade Bastian to talk about I, Robot, one of the most easily forgettable Will Smith movies of the last 20 years. And if you want to check that one out without commercials, you can get it ad free on the Patreon. As always now, folks, you can get these main We Hate Movies episodes there without any of them pesky commercials. But big week, not stopping there. Thursday, speaking of the notorious BAG himself, Melrose 210 dropping for the month of June.
So there she is, Andrea Zuckerman.
Oh, here's the fate of Andrea Zuckerman, which is, I said it to you guys, if you take that frame grab and sort of turn it 90 degrees counterclockwise, it looks like she's dancing in the Thriller video.
Oh yeah,
I see that. You posted this morning, Andrew, and somebody already on Patreon has made that Andre Image their logo, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah. I saw that, dude. I was like, wow, that's a beautiful thing. Just to have the nicest, teeniest bit of influence like that, because it's just, it's a great avatar.
It's beautiful. I love that
also,
shot.
Yeah, and Amanda Woodward threatening to stab Ted, the pervert handyman, in the throat.
Sure.
Not a bad one either.
No. Both of them.
But those are two.
Great month on Melrow 210.
Yeah, man. Ridiculous, bonkers episodes discussed on both. And then finally, Friday, long awaited. It's finally here, y'all. Head into the weekend with our next Harry Potter commentary. Harry Potter and the Goblet of Firemen, Terry. Love Philippe's artwork here on this one. Steve, I believe you are who are you? You're the rat fucker.
The rat fuck, yeah. What's his face? Yeah, I know. But speaking of rat fuck, as always, syncable commentary is not endorsement. It just having fun.
Yeah,
we're just having fun, folks.
It's also my first time watching the movie, so experience my first time.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Finally. Yeah. Just I don't know if I even told you guys yesterday, but Chelsea and I QC'd it. Listen, I know we made it and everything, but I gotta say, I think it might be the best Potter commentary yet.
Whoa,
just
gonna
put
okay.
it out there. So that's also available on Patreon. And then finally, Saturday, the big one, Saturday morning, bright and early, we're gonna release.
You're trying to make me spit water out with that.
No, I can't hide this.
Oh, my God.
You did it again. You're not getting any fucking school credit for this. I'm telling you right now.
If you're listening on audio only, you're missing out some visual poetry here.
These fucking goddamn interns we have around here. But anyway, we got to the case, dude. Daddy Image. That means it's time to wrap it up here on Screen Live. As always, thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a killer week. And until next week, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Have a good one, folks. Bye-bye.